Good morning and welcome to the roundtable once again. Fragile Explosion. Nina Simone is a world premiere production by Passing the Torch Through the Arts. Nina Simone was known as the High Priestess of Soul, was a pop star and celebrity in the 60s. Her career was upended because of her key role in the civil rights movement. Fragile Explosion follows Simone from her beginnings in North Carolina to international stardom through successes and personal failures and through her struggle with and triumph over mental illness. Written by Michael Monasterio. Thank you, Michael. Hello. And directed by Richard Rizzo. The musical direction by Harvey Kaiser. Fragile Explosion will be played Friday, May 11th, Saturday, May 12th at the Rosendale Theater in Rosendale, New York. And we'll have a special showing for the Kingston community on Friday, May 18th at 7 o'clock at A.J. Williams Myers African Roots Library in Kingston. We are joined this morning by playwright, performer, and artistic director and founder of Passing the Torch Through the Arts, Michael Monasterio. Michael, good morning. Thank you very much for being here.
Good morning, Joe. I love your show.
Well, thank you very much. We love having you here. And director Richard Rizzo joins us.
Yes, hi there.
And the performer Evelyn Clark is with us, who plays Nina Simone. How are you?
I am great. Thank you.
It is a great pleasure to have you all with us. Michael, let us begin with you of what brought you to the subject and why you wanted to write this show.
It's funny. 9 years ago, we started writing musicals, and I opened it here on this air, on this show, and it was a Harry Belafonte show.
Oh, that's right.
And it was very successful, and we started doing musicals. We did Sam Cooke, and we've done a play about the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire called Nina's Fire. Was an original, and people really responded to that. A few years ago, someone presented Nina Simone to me, and I sort of put it in the back shelf, and then this year she sort of exploded. She was everywhere, and I said, "What material? Gosh, what she's been through!" And it was such a triumphant story. That's why I felt compelled.
So, in that idea of a triumphant story, what is it that you wanted? What is the aspect of the story that you wanted to tell?
When you have someone who's a prodigy, a child prodigy, like some of these people that kids that go into the Olympics, their whole lives are focused on one thing, and so they're completely absorbed. So their personal life takes a back seat, and I think that Nina was the same thing. So I think by the time she was an adult, she was so focused on her goal and so well trained that the playing was easy for her, but then the managing through her personal life, I think, was difficult. And I think that many people tried to exploit her, her ex-husband and the record companies, and then a lot of pressure with the civil rights movement. The FBI was on her back. I mean, she had so much heat on her that she finally cracked. And that's really, I think, that's a part of the play. I mean, the idea is Fragile Explosion is just that. We paint a portrait of Nina Simone, and then we smash it on the floor, and then we put it all back together again in little shards.
So what is it like when you turn this over to an actress to play Nina Simone?
It's wonderful. I mean, if I couldn't have found a better Nina Simone, I couldn't have found a better voice. I mean, Evelyn's just perfect for it. And I've known Evelyn for years and years. We worked together for years. But somehow somebody said, "You know Evelyn." And I'm like, "You know, no kidding." I mean, I couldn't have asked for it. I could have did auditions in Manhattan and couldn't have gotten a lead like this.
Did you think that way, too? In the sense that it was a good fit.
I believe so. I remember hearing Nina Simone. I never got a chance to actually see her perform, but I did like her music as I was growing up. And so it just seems like her keys all fit my singing voice and my style. So I guess it is a pretty good fit.
Yeah. Now, Richard, what are the challenges in directing something like this?
Well, first of all, I had the privilege of seeing Nina Simone in person back in the 70s at the Village Gate. And I've had the opportunity to work with Michael in several of my productions. So what I wanted to get across was not exactly a duplication of Nina Simone, but just the feeling that she had and the elements of her life. So we worked very, very closely with Evelyn. We had a lot of meetings, and she's got the essence of Nina Simone, and the singing is magnificent.
Now, my understanding is that you have come ready to do a little scene.
Yes, we have a scene.
Okay. All right. So what is the setup to the scene?
Martin Luther King was a close friend of Nina Simone. And the idea was, at one point, he was taking so much heat for the civil rights movement that most people didn't know about. Well, Nina knew about it. And a lot of the people that were behind him sort of backed away. A lot of famous artists stayed, but some backed away because they were at so much risk. There was so much risk to their careers. This is the point when Nina is really not sure if she can do it or if she wants to do it, but something deep inside her is yearning for the struggle and believes in him so much. This is a scene between Andy and Nina at home, and it's pretty self-explanatory.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, baby, why was Martin King here? Didn't we send him a big check last month? Well, you know I believe in his work. We all do, but...
But?
Well, we worked so hard to get here. We did. You and me and time spent away from our daughter. We gave up a normal life for this. We are on top, and we are not giving it up.
We?
Yes, we have...
I never asked you to march.
We have a tour commitment. We are starting a new album. And if we get blacklisted or if something happens to you, then it all stops. So don't do it. We are all counting on you.
Don't tell me what to do. I play every night. Every night. Tired, hurt, stressed out. I play.
You listen to me. You are my wife. You are a mother. This is our life at stake. And you are not throwing it away. So write a bigger check, have a drink, and be ready for 7:30. You hear me?
I'll be ready. Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing. So hush, little baby, don't you cry.
Beautiful. It is a piece from the performance Fragile Explosion, Nina Simone, a world premiere production by Passing the Torch Through Arts. And it is playing this weekend and then again in Kingston, this weekend in Rosendale, and then on Friday, the 18th in Kingston.
And then the Howland on the 18th at Beacon will be 19th. In Beacon. 19th will be
19th.
In Beacon.
19th. So yep. You got the whole, you're going around.
Yes, and then we'll be at the Colony in Woodstock in June. June Father's Day will be at the Colony.
Tell me, I'm assuming that Passing the Torch Through the Arts, tell me a little bit about what that means to you and how it became your name.
We are an educational theater company. Theater changed my life. I was a rowdy kid, and we were getting into some trouble. And a teacher, the only black teacher at my school at the time, I grew up in Westchester County. She kind of pulled me aside and brought me into the music program, and kind of became like my mentor. And she opened up the world of theater for me, and it changed my life. It gave me a purpose, and it gave me a sense of social consciousness. It really changed me. So when I became an adult, I was an actor in the city in my 20s. I always wanted to find some way to reach kids, to reach young people. And Passing the Torch to the Arts, when I came up with the idea, it just flourished. I met all these great people. Evelyn's been with us almost since the start. I mean, we really have had such great critical response and such a great love from our community.
Evelyn is he said you've been there through the start. What has it been like to see this company start to take hold and transform and move through time?
Well, I'm really focused on the educational piece. I do storytelling along with other things, and I'm very much focused on the youth and making sure that they know our history, which is very important. Our young people get to know who some of these folks are that they won't learn about in school. Someone like Nina Simone, they may hear her name, but probably not. mm-hmm. may not know what she went through, what her life was like. When Michael writes these plays, he actually does a lot of research on these, on the people that he's writing about and their history, including the racism that they encountered, the segregation that Nina Simone lived through. So I enjoy doing this in order to bring their stories to life.
And how long have you been with the group?
Well, this is the first production with Passing the Torch. However, Michael has been in a couple of the productions that I've done through my Rhinebeck Readers Theater. And I wrote a piece about the Roosevelts, and I had asked Michael to write a little bit about the Tuskegee Airmen who took Eleanor Roosevelt up into the airplane. And he was part of the company, but when he wrote that piece, that stood out so well. I've read some of his other pieces, Nina's Fire that he mentioned before. And so then when he mentioned this project, I was interested for several reasons. I like history, I like biographies, educational, gospel, and blues. It's all in this show. I had read some of his writing, and I had seen Nina Simone in person.
Okay, so, and yes, you said that before, and I let that go, but let me not let that go. So what was that experience like?
It was probably one of the more dramatic experiences I've ever had. It was at the Village Gate. Nina Simone was dressed in, like, a all-encompassing type of a garment, and she was walking up and down the stage, and she was angry. Very, very angry and calling out people in the audience. And I was sitting in the second row with my girlfriend, and I was saying, please don't look at me. Please don't call upon me. And it made such an impact that I bought several of her albums there.
Oh, wow.
Quite an impact.
I mean, you didn't feel shamed or anything. I mean, it was just...
Well, I did feel shamed. She was...
Do you know why she was angry?
I think it was just the civil rights movement in general.
Okay, so yeah. Just angry at what was going on at the time.
Angry at white people also. I was sitting in the audience and said, please don't look at me. I'm thinking in my mind, my parents came from Italy. You know, I was not here during that period of the Civil War.
Yeah.
It left quite an impression on me.
But the issue is about... It's so relatable. I mean, it's a young girl story. I mean, people exploited her, and her ex-husband physically abused her, and he was an independent woman. She became her own manager. I mean, most people who go through a period where they're famous and then they go through a personal struggle, they fall off the map, and they come back some sort of a lesser version of themselves 20 years later. She didn't. She came back bigger. Her last 15 years was super successful and so productive. I mean, what a great story for a young girl. I have two daughters. It inspired me. And the best material is, listen to her talk. The civil rights movement was personal for her. Malcolm X was her friend and lived down the street from her. Martin Luther King was a friend of hers. So when these people died, it was like, it wasn't just reading about somebody. It was like her friends. They shot her friends for just wanting the same things that we all want. And people don't get that. Kids don't get it. They read it and it's so removed. Or the amount of stress you were under just to take a stand. It was so hard. Martin Luther King was under so much stress, his house being firebombed and the FBI chasing him around. And when you think about what he was wanting to do, it seems harmless now. But then it was a threat to the power. And they took so much heat. People don't even know. It ruined Nina Simone's career. And then she had to bring it back again. So she was an expatriate like James Baldwin. They left the country. They took so much heat. So people don't really understand the sacrifice for what we enjoy right now. And that's really what I wanted to get.
One of the things, too, that strikes me in just you telling the story about her, it seems like that moment when she's on stage is the time when she truly has all the power, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, because it's her and nobody really can screw around with that.
And the thing is, if you listen to her recordings now, it's so it's so salient. It's so indelible. It there's no one sings like her because somewhere she taps something inside of her that touches something inside of you. And everybody who's a fan gets that. And that's why her albums, even though they weren't publicized, people bought them for years. She was so successful for years, and you never heard on the radio because you didn't have to. She had her own kind of underground. She touched people in some ways, and I think it was that strength from having been gone through so much.
Fragile Explosion, Nina Simone, will be shown Friday, May 11th and Saturday, May 12th at 7 at the Rosendale Theater in Rosendale. And we'll have a special showing at the Kingston Community on Friday, May 18th at 7 o'clock at the A.J. Williams Myers African Roots Library in Kingston, New York. If you go to WAMC.org/roundtable. We'll have the reservation phone numbers posted with this interview. My thanks to Richard and Michael and Evelyn. You're all great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.